meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Ron Livingston is here tonight.
Mr. Sunshine tonight, Adam. What's the deal?
I'm in a good mood.
Wow.
Hey. Now, I've worked like 15 days straight or something, and you know, I like to eat and I like to do nothing, and I hate work, so I'm really excited about the next four days.
I see. But you should be in a miserable
It's cooling mood. Off. The weather's cool outside. This is my. We got. It's like it's football. It's cold. It's food. It's weather. It's all. It's no work. It's good. Perfect. Ron Livingston's here. Glad to meet him for the third or fourth time, depending on how many times he's been here.
Thinking it's the first.
But that's what makes it fresh.
That's right.
I come home, I find a strange, busty woman in my bed when I get home. Turns out it's my wife. I'm always surprised. Yeah.
Good times.
Tell her can't be right. We're married. Right, Drew?
I mean, right,
no scholar. Ron is here plugging The Cooler, which is a movie that I saw reviewed on Roper and Ebert and whoever, I think, last Sunday, and gave it two huge thumbs up.
Oh, that's good to hear.
And those guys, you know, they have a hard time agreeing on things. And when you get the two thumbs up, it's fairly rare. Probably somewhere in the 15 to 20% range. Mm. And now big thumbs up for The Cooler.
You think that's fixed?
The thumbs
up? Yeah, that they go at each other, that they have...
Because I did see The Cooler, and I got to believe it's rigged, because this was a flaming turd, Drew. I got to be honest with you.
They're paid off.
Obviously. Now, I always find a little suspicious is I do watch the show religiously, and I'm not sure why. I just really enjoy watching them review movies, and sometimes I'll see them that they split in the paper, like thumb up and thumb down, and, on the show they split, and then when I see in the newspaper the review says thumbs up. But it doesn't say two thumbs up. No. So I think the idea is what they try to trick you is they go like Siskel or Roper or whatever. One of them gave the thumbs up, so they write thumbs up. But you got to see two thumbs up for it to be both of them.
Right.
That's what I think. And The Cooler, two thumbs up.
Emphasis on two.
William H. Macy, amazing. One of the best actors of the last 10 years. Maybe more. Alec Baldwin, dear friend. I mean, this is a great cast. Now, was this was it shot in Vegas?
We shot it in Reno. It's set in Vegas. Reno is cheaper.
Right.
And we got a casino. We got a hold of a place that was going out of business.
Mm-hmm.
They were redecorating it, and ownership was changing. So we owned the place for the whole 3 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was kind of like The Shining in a casino.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
And was it all shot on like a 3-chip camera or something, something? I mean, was it shot on film or was it shot digitally?
No, it was on film as far as I know. Yeah, I believe it's on film unless you know more than I do, which is highly possible.
I was... Anderson says film, so I got to believe him. But I was just talking to Alec Baldwin like a year and a half ago about something he was shooting in Vegas or somewhere in that area, and he said he was shooting it on like digital something, and I wasn't sure if this was that or
something else. Was it.
Ron was also great in Sex and the City, by the way, playing Sarah Jessica Parker's boyfriend who couldn't ride a motorcycle. Yeah, I like that show. You got to be quiet about it around the office.
Do you like that show?
Yeah, I like it. It's a good show.
Wow.
Well, it's well written. It's well acted.
Hmm?
I don't know. It's maybe gets a little more heat than it deserves, and maybe it's a little overrated or something at times, but it's a good, solid show. Oh. Yeah, good storylines, good actors. Hmm. Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah? Yeah?
Asked this, though. Let me ask you this one question. I'm bothered by the, and I actually like it, too, but I'm bothered by the unreality of the characters.
Yeah.
Like Samantha is just a really like a very, very, very disturbed person.
Yeah.
And I can see why Samantha and the Prissy girl and the Sarah Jessica Parker characters would hang out together. They're all sick, basically.
Right.
They'd support one another, each one of those ill pathology.
Right.
But why does the Kim Nixon character hang out there? The redhead?
Yeah.
Because she's like substantial and together.
Yeah.
And think about how
she's neurotic.
But think
too.
How she treats men.
Yeah.
She kind of does them a favor of having sex with them, like I'll go
Yeah.
And she's gay.
You think she's gay?
That's the only way that makes sense to me.
Well, and maybe there will be no next season.
Huh?
So maybe, that's it.
Season finale.
All right. Ron is here. The cooler's out in L.A. and New York, but really just getting rave reviews. And an interesting storyline, too, which is William H. Macy is paid by the casino to sort of cool down guys who are on a hot streak.
Yeah, he's by just by the way of his karma, he's the worst gambler in the world. His luck's so bad that not only does he lose, but anyone he stands next to loses.
Nice.
So, of course, you know,
I could play that role.
Yeah. Just in life, you ruin people's lives.
Yeah.
Bad news.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, just the especially when it comes to numbers and dice and cards and things.
Yeah.
Really bad.
See, at first I thought it was homage to Roadhouse, where Patrick Swayze played the best cooler in the business. That's Bouncer. When you're in the bar scene.
Oh,
yeah.
really?
Yeah, best cooler in the business.
Wow, interesting.
That's the other thing that never happens in the movies. Like, hey, this guy's the best cooler in the business. No one ever goes,
What does
that mean? He's a bouncer. He bounces. There's never any weird confusion. It's just like that part where he goes, meet me on 555 Old Maple Lane at 12 o'clock on Tuesday. No one ever goes, hold on, let me get a pen. And there's no momentum stopping. He's telling 14-year-old girls, hey, that's Dalton. He's the best cooler in the business. Oh, yeah. No one goes, huh? And as you know from talking to our listeners, no one's heard of anything ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they have a way
you
of letting...
You two got 80 years of wisdom between the two of you and 5 college degrees. Neither one of you morons knew what a cooler was,
no
right?
Idea. No idea.
Right, that's my point. See, if this was a movie, we'd still be talking about it. We'd be well into Act 3, and I'd still be just explaining what Dalton does. All right, let's take some calls. What do you say,
Drew? I'm ready.
I'm in a good mood.
You are. I can't get over it. What the hell happened today?
I'm excited about eating.
No, what happened today?
I'll tell you something else that happened today. I was driving over here tonight. I stopped at the liquor store down on the bottom of the hill.
You got loaded. That's what you're
having. No. That's for later.
Oh.
So I get loaded for later. Yeah. I bought some booze, and I realized I forgot my wallet.
Uh-huh.
I had about $30 worth of booze.
Oh, and the guy said, you could say put it in my tab.
The guy said, just sign it.
Oh.
I'll get you for it. And I thought, because it's the place I go to, and then I thought, this is an important message to share with the kiddies and all of America, as well as my cranberry recipe, which is coming up soon, too, which is... Everyone's trying to save a buck, but let me just tell you a couple things. You got to patronize your local hole-in-the-wall ma and pa places. You got to keep these places around. We
is
need
Walmart
going to
give you free booze? No.
But for that, you're going to show up with a basket or something next time you go in there.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple things. I always leave these guys to change. If something is $28.75, I just give them $30 and leave. I go, you get it back to me one day. That's another good thing. So you reap what you sow, everybody. Get out there, spread it around a little bit, number one. But number two, your time is important. And people don't, and you're worth something. People don't do this. Everyone will go to Home Depot to buy a couple of wing nuts or something. They'll go buy 75 cents worth of screws and wait in line for 4 hours.
Yeah.
You got to figure that you're worth at least a couple bucks an hour, right? So if the drive's a little further and the wait's a little longer and the place a little bigger and the parking lot's a little fuller, that's going to cost whatever that money is going to be absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, if you're buying 70,000 board feet of knotty pine, then by all means, go to the Home Depot. But for the nickel and dime stuff, get in, get out, establish a relationship with the local guy. They'll know you. They'll help you out. They'll treat you right.
And you've been waiting for this.
I have.
It's been a long time coming.
All I get is this. I'm used to the steely-eyed glare of the foreigner behind the bulletproof glass at the 76 station. No, cannot have. No, I don't want anything. I'm just like, no! Do you guys have a water? Could I get water? No! Well, I want to get air. 50 cent! I'm trying to get to Glendale. Should I take the 10? No! No, take tunnel here! No! Do you got the ultralights? No! The pump says out of order, but I got a 76. No! Isn't that what it is?
That's what it is.
Listen, I'm going to need to borrow a gas can. No! I got a Fabergé egg I can leave. No! I got some gold ingots that I salvaged from a Spanish warship galley off the coast of Costa Rica. No! The gas can's only $3. I'm going, no!
No, cannot have.
No!
No, cannot
no!
have.
No! No, cannot!
This beverage.
No!
It's goat-based. No, cannot tap.
Yeah. This is the falafel stand, by the way.
No, cannot tap. No, 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 you cannot tap. No, no mixing. No, cannot tap. Read menu. No, no, get fired. No.
Yeah, This is the time I tried to mix the chicken and the lamb shawarma over at the Zanku Chicken, and the bitch started screaming at me, and I had to drive to another one that was about 10 miles away just to prove my point. But, yeah, they're dynamite people over there. I did another one where I was trying to pay with a credit card for a falafel sandwich, and the falafel was $3.99, and the minimum credit card was $10. So I told him, just take the 10 bucks, give me the falafel. And the guy's, no. I'm like, listen, you don't understand. Take the 10, give me the falafel. No. Next. All right. See, I think in their world, I would be trying to get away with something.
Anything's trying to get away with something, because that's how...
That's right. Yeah, you come from that part of the country, you blow a fart, you're trying to get away with something, right? Anything? It's all something. Everyone's guilty until proven guilty, right? Is that the motto over there? It's great. Good. So everyone, listen. Here's the deal. If you got a good business, pay them a couple extra bucks. These guys can be your friends. And if someone's an a-hole, tell them to F off and never go there, and tell everyone not to go there and get them out of business. Thank you. And is this LZ, or you think that's Liz?
I think it's LZ.
Yeah, it's LZ.
LZ, you're 15.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I whack off all the time, and whack I was off, wondering if you could get, get an orgasm by whacking off.
That's the purpose of that. That's what guys have in mind when they do that.
Yeah. I'm going to do some rough calculations. I'm about 36,000.
847?
Out of 36,847 on my whacking off orgasm ratio. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty good. It's a streak, and every day's a new day, and every day could be broken. It could fall.
You want to talk about the other times?
That's it. I've never whacked off and not have positive results. So, LZ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why God invented whacking off.
Right, you may be a little bit young to be doing this, which makes me worry about why you're doing it.
Well, okay, yeah, because I don't, like, okay, there's, okay, my ex, well, actually, a girl, she's 17, she wants to lose her virginity to me, and I don't know her background either, so I don't
know. If she wants to lose her virginity to you, how extensive could her background be?
I don't know if she does drugs or anything.
Mm. You think so she's like a 17-year-old virgin junkie?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
All right. Okay. Well, he is calling. Where's
Bakersfield?
He calling? Bakersfield.
That
so,
could happen there.
Yeah. So she's probably a junkie. LZ.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to do.
Slow down.
Don't get anyone pregnant.
You can't.
Oh, I'm not.
He's never had an orgasm.
Oh, okay. All right. You're cool, buddy. You got to get out of that Bakersfield, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Is he smoking pot?
I'm trying to. I thought I heard the beginnings of that.
LZ, you smoking pot?
No, I don't. Well, I used to.
Liar, whore, yeah. You know it.
And at 15, I used to.
All right, but that was back in the day.
Last week.
No. Well, I have to take drug tests every month. So.
All right, LZ. Easy with the weed. Leave her. And listen, when you take someone's virginity, it's a little responsibility.
Yeah? Yeah, I'm not sure LZ's up for responsibilities right now.
We got a question for Ron over here about Office Space, okay. Which is Engineer Anderson's all-time favorite movie. And I would say mine too.
No, it's not.
It isn't?
No, it's like one of my favorite comedies in the last 6 years for sure.
All right. Ron's right here, buddy.
I love it. And Ron, you're amazing in it.
Hey, that's a great film.
That's okay. It's not my favorite film.
It can't be my favorite film. I'm an aficionado, please.
Listen, Jackoff, that's called artistic license, what I was using there. See what I'm saying?
I don't buy it.
All right. Go ahead. Thomas?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Thomas?
Hey. I was wondering, first I want to say to Drew, I love your book. I read it. I came to the studio, and you really got me psyched about it, so I read it, and I loved it.
Thanks, Thomas.
I actually used it in an essay relating it to a Great Gatsby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and then I was wondering for Ron, what was it like working with Mike Judge and Jennifer Aniston?
It was really cool. Mike's one of those guys, because he's an animator, I sort of thought that he was going to be very kind of meticulous and have things planned out.
Mm-hmm.
But he directs more like a bass player. where
like
it was,
a jazz bass player.
Yeah, yeah. He used to be a rock and roll sideman guy after he quit his engineering job and before he started animating. So he's
eclectic.
He really kind of jumped around a lot before discovering how to make trillions of dollars. But it was really cool. Everything was really loose, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right,
Thomas.
Thanks.
Hey, good times there. What do you mean you were in the studio?
I came to the studio on June 16th. I don't know, Adam, I didn't really talk to you too much, but I was the guy who busted the bogus caller. You remember Miriam?
Man, was I?
Oh, yeah, the broke Miriam, yeah.
How did he break her?
He heard it. He picked it out.
But wait, you were in the studio with? Where the hell were we? You're over there?
He was across the window.
It was at Westwood One, yeah, and then.
Okay, buddy.
Good job, Thomas. Thank you.
I know Tara's leaving, so I guess goodbye to her from all of us at wherever I am, I guess.
Whatever.
Okay. Atlanta.
Thanks,
for
Thomas.
All of us at, and then he realizes he's going to high school. Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, is going to be out of here on the 30th, by the way. Your last
name. Nice, Anderson.
No, that's not. That's clapping like good for her. Not like we're happy to see her go. Is it?
You have to apologize.
Anderson did that thing.
I know.
Not us.
All right.
Just get the cranberry thing over with here.
Okay. I would like to do this. So why? Someone's calling about cranberry?
Yes.
Found a cranberry recipe on the back of Ocean Spray? Chaz?
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Is this Chaz the dude?
Yeah.
All right. You found a recipe for cranberry?
I found the exact recipe on the back of the Ocean Spray. Cranberries, fresh cranberries at Wegmans.
Yeah.
That's where he got it.
That's where I got it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you thought I had invented.
Handed down from Corolla to Corolla.
And by the way, handed down through Corolla generations.
You were very ambiguous when you're describing it. You're like, I think it was your aunt pulled out some of the jelly stuff and he said, no, I'll take my own recipe.
Adam's Test Kitchen.
Face it, if Corolla's had passed it down for generations, it would have...
Wouldn't be any good.
It would have come from the back of a can or something.
Listen, there's nothing handed. The only thing handed down from the Corollas was the nappy hair. That was it. And the nasally, the only thing I got, I think, is maybe a deviated septum.
Yeah, I was just thinking, when are you going to get that fixed? When are you going to get that fixed?
I got the cotton mouth going
it's
at
ridiculous.
Night.
It's ridiculous.
I can't breathe at night.
You're a grown man. Come on.
I see my mouth wide open.
Take care
open.
Of yourself. Get that done.
What do I do?
Go get the, I'll send you to a guy and get it taken care of.
Yeah, you sent me to a guy for my hand.
It's all done now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're right, Drew.
Just because they wouldn't let you wear your underwear for the surgery, you've never forgiven
me. He's doing hand surgery and he's my underpants?
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Kind of pedophile. Maybe he's not a pedophile, but the point is what kind of pervert needs a pair of underpants to work on a man's arm? You know what I mean? Stretched out. Ron, I was strapped out like Jesus on the cross with a 6-foot sandwich board behind me. They taped my hand to this thing so I wouldn't move around while they were doing their surgery, and he still needed my underpants. You need your underpants. And then you got to put the gown on with the big club cast on, and you're all drugged up, and your asshole's hanging out the back, and you got to tie it in the back. But how are you going to tie anything in the back with the big club hand, and you're all pumped up on Vicodin and stuff, and you just walk around with your nutsack dragging everywhere? It's all about moving you from the thing onto the other thing. Nutsacks everywhere. How much sack do you think those nurses see per year?
Well,
millions of miles.
That year,
the Atlantic Ocean.
You put them over the top. I mean, there's so much sack there. They've been talking about it to this day. It was a very good year.
Is it a big, good sack year, like a banner sack?
Because of you, Adam. Because of you.
How much sack
year.
Do they want to see, and how much old sack? And as you get older,
well, that's a different question.
Let me tell you what happens. You get older, you get smaller, your sack gets bigger. Your sack and your nose keep growing.
Yeah.
And your ears, your sack and your nose. Those are the three things
that
keep growing.
Anything that has affected by gravity.
Everything else starts shrinking. So eventually, a guy's like 200 pounds with an 8-ounce sack is going to be 135 with a 70-pound sack. It's true, Drew. It's true. If you get old enough, this is how it'll go. Yeah. Most don't live that long. Because I had those calculations for like 3,000 years.
You have a precocious sack.
I have a large...
You're ahead.
I have a large sack, but the point is I don't need to have the sack hanging out while the stupid smock is pulled up over my head with the thing and the drugs and the IVs. And let's leave the guy's underpants. You take the underpants when you work on underpant areas. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
See, Ron and I.
It's on your side.
Yeah, Ron.
In fact,
I'm
with
you. Talking
on that. About. Ron was last down here in 1996. You were complaining about the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he brought it up then. That's what happened. Okay. All right. What was I talking about? Cranberry sauce?
Yeah, we're all done with that.
We're not done with
cranberry
sauce.
Oh, you're going to give the, you have to give the recipe.
Okay, here's all you have to do, because, Ron, here's what happens.
What happened?
What happens is people they sit in the kitchen for 5-6 hours, and then at the very end, they bust out the can opener, and they open a can of cranberry sauce.
Right.
Unacceptable
Absurd.
To me.
No.
Absurd. Sometimes it's like it's jelly, and they like slice it up, and it's sort of serrated. It's like the shape of the can. It's very low rent, very white trash, move. One, here's all you do. Get a sack of cranberries, loose cranberries. It's an Ocean Spray sack, you know. You just take that sack.
Nice segue.
Yeah, nice segue, right? You just take one cup of water. One cup, and go a little lighter than a full cup of sugar, because you can sweeten a little more. Go about 3/4 of a cup of sugar. Dump that in the pot. Bring it to a boil. Dump the sack of cranberries in. Put the lid on it. It's done.
Hell
5 minutes later?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. 5-6 minutes. Fresh cranberry sauce. Fresh, zesty, warm cranberry.
You don't have to stir it or anything while it's...
You give it a little, it a little stir around. You put the lid on it. Turn the heat down. It's done. I mean, it's marginally more work than opening the can. Marginal, but barely. About the same calories burnt as opening the can and getting the crap out of the can is making it fresh.
But well worth it.
Well worth
Boy.
It. Well worth it. Well worth it. All right. I like when they say season to taste on the thing. Like, what are you going to do? Put a bunch of crap you're allergic to in there? You know what I hate? I hate rosemary. I'm going to stuff it full of rosemary just to make myself vomit. Season to taste. Yeah, no S, you retards. All right, Ron Livingston is here tonight. The Cooler is his movie. It is out in New York. It is out in L.A. With your good support, it'll be out everywhere soon.
Knock on wood.
And it's got an all-star cast, a lot of good actors in this movie, and great, great reviews so far. So, take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Livingston is here tonight. The Cooler, name of his new movie, next week. Macy Gray is going to be here. Kathy Griffin's going to be here. Tori Amos is going to be here. David Alan Greer and Joel from Good Charlotte's going to be here. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. It's an all-star lineup, Drew.
It's driving me crazy, this roof problem.
And Drew's having a little roof problem. He's trying to explain it to me, and he's not doing a great job. Drew, your words can't draw a picture, neither can your mouth.
Neither can my
neither
hand.
Neither can your hand, yeah. It's all disaster.
Yes.
What are you drawing?
All I know is that this is how these tiles fit.
Drew, you know what you've drawn? You've drawn the Australian Opera House. That's all I see.
You're right.
Ron thinks you're an idiot now, too.
Actually, it's LA. Right,
come on, you could draw something. But do it during the break.
Yeah.
All right. Drew's having house problems. All right. Back to the phones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amanda?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. I have a problem, and it's kind of doing with my husband. I can go down on him I've done it up to 2 hours now.
Ew.
And I can't get him off. But in the past, with the other guys I've gotten, I'm getting them within 5 minutes.
Did you tell him that?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's why he's not getting off.
Tells him that about 45 minutes in. Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
And by the way, if I don't get a mouthful of tapioca after the first hour, I'm packing it in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm just figuring I don't get into hour two with the BJs. Ron, am I right?
2 hours is a long time.
2 hours, a lot of blowing. I don't know if I have collectively 2 hours under my belt, Drew. What do you think?
You probably got at least 2 hours.
Oh, really? Yeah, thanks.
Be fair here.
It's more I'm trying to satisfy him.
I know, but,
yeah, but he's not into it.
Can you really, by the way, can you really blow a guy for 2 hours, or is that just chick time where you think you don't have enough room to make it through the alley, but you really have a ton of room, or you think the ceiling's 60 feet high, but it's really 11 feet high? Is that chick estimating thing?
It's God's estimate of time. Even if we're 20 minutes, it would feel like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, be that as it may, it's a long time. He's not. Some guys do not have orgasms within
his,
a course.
Not his gig.
Yeah.
It's not his gig, so why even bother then? I mean,
He probably likes it as part of the.
Does
whole,
he like it?
Yeah.
It's just he's always playing with himself, and I'm wondering if that could be the reason.
Is he retarded?
Huh?
Sometimes retarded guys. look, Amanda.
Uh huh.
We asked you, does he like it, and you answered with, he always plays with himself.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say that.
Does he like it?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, he does make moaning and groaning noises, but I don't know if it's true. You know what I mean? I don't know if the sound.
All right, Amanda, okay. First thing, no kids.
Please.
And don't fly any passenger planes where you actually take the controls of the plane.
Oh, my God.
It would be very dangerous.
Well, I do have two kids with him.
Oh.
All
right, that's enough with him.
It is. I'm fixed.
You're fixed.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Good. All right. I'll send you out a windbreaker. And what do you do? Are you a nurse?
No.
No.
Stay-at-home mom? You're what?
I'm just a housewife.
What's he do?
He's a mechanic, and he services, like, vending machines and pot machines.
Pop machines, I think.
She said. It's a Midwest
thing. Illinois, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So listen, Amanda.
Uh-huh.
He enjoys the physical sensation of oral sex.
Just
but he's
doesn't
not,
have orgasm.
Not what you call a BJ guy.
Right. Which there are those guys.
So you give him a little fluffing up, and then he moves in for the kill.
But see, the other thing is, he can take up to an hour and not get off yet.
Is he on medication?
No.
No.
He does when he's, smoke pot.
Oh, there you go. Well,
slow him down a little bit.
That can slow him down.
So he can have sex for an hour?
Yeah, and he won't get off. I mean, I don't want to do it anymore because it takes too long.
All right.
Well, you're going to have to see if you can cut into that time. Maybe he can get started on himself and you come in and join the program in progress.
Uh-huh. I mean,
okay.
Does it have something to do with, like, testosterone? Because he's, like, really hairy. And I
no.
That could maybe do something?
No.
No.
No?
But listen, Amanda.
Uh-huh.
Two things. It's not your fault.
Okay.
And secondly, no homeschooling for these kids. You hear me?
Please.
Yes, I understand.
You send them far away from the house, right?
Huh?
I don't even want them coming home on the weekends. I want year-round, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week school.
All right.
No summer breaks and no Easter, no nothing. You understand? Okay. You communicate through semaphore. Like they do on aircraft carriers.
She doesn't know what that means. Lights, flashing lights.
Use flashlights.
Smoke signals.
Flashlights. You have an Indian to smoke. All right. You're okay, baby. He's fine, and he's got to pick it up a little, and you should just talk to him about it. I think he could be sympathetic about that.
Yeah, you should be discussing this all with him. And maybe he doesn't masturbate too much, and maybe he can sort of hasten his pace a little bit by not masturbating so much.
Guys have their own sort of clock.
Yes.
And that's about it.
Yep.
And then later on, things start to take their toll. I mean, if you've been boozing or doing coke or smoking weed or taking a lot of prescription drugs or something like that, maybe eventually smoking cigarettes. Over the course of 20 years, things are going to start to take their toll. But when you're 25, your clock is your clock. And some guys go off, their alarm goes off 2 minutes into it. And some guys, it's 2 hours. And for most everyone else, it's somewhere in between. But there's this sort of notion that there's a little blame mixed in with, well, how are we going
to
fix it?
Guys do that to girls too, right, Ron?
Oh, sure. You know, there's different. I remember when you're 18. You know, you dream of being able to go for 2 hours.
Right. Yeah, but everyone does that. It's sort of like, why is he doing this?
Right.
Doesn't he understand?
Right.
Well, that's
so he
just
could change
way,
it. Yeah,
that's the way it is. You think that the guy would love to bust a nut and get back to Sports Center?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Spike the ball and head back to the huddle.
That's right, but he can't. But it's weird as a society we get angry. And I understand, yeah, you get angry when you're blowing a guy for 2 hours. Yes, Drew?
Yes, usually.
Okay.
Sometimes I beg your pardon.
All right. It's enough. Chris?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But first of all, I just want to say I'm like a dedicated fan. I love y'all guys. Y'all are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Germany or Florida, the way that's played, Ron, is he gives a bizarre story, and we say whether it came out of Germany or Florida, since all bizarre macabre stories came out of Germany or Florida. That's That's Pink singing the Germany or Florida theme song and Drew tinkling on the piano. Chris?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So a white girl is kidnapped, and then, like, a bunch of people, like, pitch in. They all try and, like, find her.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 weeks earlier, an Indian girl had been kidnapped, and, like, nobody did nothing.
Yeah. Well,
given there's no Indians in Germany,
we're going Florida.
Unless you're talking about
could
maybe
East Indians.
East Indian, yeah, it could be.
I still got to go Florida on this one. And by the way, this is not the world's greatest Germany or Florida example. One girl was kidnapped, and another one was kidnapped. That's not a good Germany or Florida, is it?
No, it's not the macabre that we're used to.
All right. So anyway, we're all going Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let me talk to the screeners about Germany or Florida. A, it's got to be one we haven't heard before,
right,
to the best of your knowledge. I know you haven't heard every single one of them. And then B, it's got to be something that's Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
This is just, and it's hard to prove.
Could
and it's
be
not
Birmingham,
really much of a story.
Could be anywhere, really.
That's right.
Well, here's one they say is funny. Let's take that one. Line three.
Really?
Another Germany or Florida.
All right. Brian?
Hi, nice to meet you guys.
Brian? Nice to meet you. You're 16. Give us your Germany or Florida.
Okay, here's mine. A local doctor has been suspended for exposing himself to patients. On at least three separate occasions, he had been accused of dropping his pants, discussing medical charts in the buff, and attempting to conduct examinations in various stages of undress. He took off his laboratory coat and his shirt pants, commented one patient. He then stood naked in front of me and asked me to comment on his appearance.
Brian, I told you not to read this story.
Mm-hmm.
You already read it?
I'm going with Germany on this one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Ron?
Well, the English sounded pretty colloquial, so that would lean towards Florida, but the whole thing sounds German to me.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going Germany, Brian.
It's Naples, Florida.
Ooh. Oh. Wow.
Good one.
Thought
got
that
it.
Sold by the Brian man.
Yeah, I took out the doctor's name and stuff like that, so it'd be less conspicuous.
Right. All right.
And Adam, I was wondering if you
true.
Flew RC airplanes.
What? Oh, yeah, once in a while. Just not as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a busy man.
No more time anymore.
That's right, buddy boy.
All right. Nice to meet you guys.
Thanks for Germany or Florida. Well, that's how you play.
Good one.
We're 500 tonight. Not as good as we normally are. Let's talk to James. James?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. You're 23. What's up?
Yeah, I had a very difficult time maintaining an erection when using a condom.
It happens.
Not so difficult without.
Do you? Is it when you stop to put the condom on that you lose it, or once it's on, or what's the situation?
Yeah, pretty much once it's on, it's a limp noodle.
Once it's on, so it's not the breaking of the rhythm. It's not the process of putting it on. It's just the fact that it's on doesn't feel good.
I guess. I try and control it. I just have absolutely no control. It just goes limp.
Trying to control your penis is like trying to control a house cat. Like if you just sit there and try to will it somewhere, it will never do. Like if you're thinking, communicating, if you just start thinking what you want the cat to do, the cat senses what you want it to do and does the opposite. Yeah. Your penis is the same way.
Penis is a house cat. Yeah.
Penis is a house cat. You must think, please don't get a boner. Not now. Oh, Lord, not now. And then you'll get one. It's very combative. It's passive aggressive, the boner.
What's that word, cat? James, is there? Have you tried different brands?
I've actually tried two separate brands. Yes.
Two brands. Have you tried different sizes?
No.
Yeah. Do you have a girlfriend, or are you just moving around?
A girlfriend.
You do.
Yes.
What if you got her on some kind of birth control and you put the condoms away?
That would work. I just it's kind of a new relationship, so we don't know so much about each other's history that I'm that comfortable with it.
All right. Well, listen,
you do that, and I have no issues, but with the condom, it just seems impossible.
Yeah.
You guys familiar with that spiral one, the new spiral one?
The spiral condom?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Trojan's got one. Twisted Pleasure.
There's one on her, like Inspiron or something like that.
You thrust in and she spins around like a propeller?
Yeah, right.
All right. Hey, James.
Yes.
Okay, here's what you need to do. You're new. You're in a new relationship, and you're a little unsure of your footing. And here's the whole thing. Question marks killed the penis. That's it's my Dr. Seuss title for the night. I mean, whenever there's a little like, hey, I wonder, or, I don't know if she's clean or not. Or, I can't tell where I'm at in this thing or whatever. The penis immediately is out.
That then the anxiety about it possibly happening again.
Right.
Game off.
Right. You need to just sort of, time will heal this wound. You need to sort of find your rhythm
with her.
It's tough at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to and
try different brands too.
Yeah, James is probably a guy maybe has never really been broken in. You know, we haven't talked about this in a while, but guys get their first girlfriend, maybe they're 16, 17 or whatever, and they kick around a little bit, but then there's that one break in chick. That's where you try all the different, you know, that's the one you take the shower with. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Remember the first time you take a shower with chicks, like this chick's She's nude. Shower was totally naked. The lights on. She totally let me check her out. She like just turned her back to me. She wasn't worried. I was going to do nothing. Like,
all those years of you peeking like, into the women's locker room. Yeah, like, here it is in front of
me. I'm actually in the room with a nude woman with no barrier.
Yeah,
in
the
between us.
You run through the manual. You just go through everything.
Yeah, and you start getting into stuff. Yeah, because you want to check everything off the list. This is the break-in girl. Usually, once you've been through that relationship, then it's sort of smooth sailing from that point on because there's a familiarity to it all.
You know what you like.
Yeah, you know you've been around. Other than that, it's like being a temp and just bouncing from one office to the next and never really figuring out where the elevator is. You get the lay of the land. This becomes like a place you've been working at for a while, and you get smooth walking down the hall. Hey, the Coke machine's over here, but if you hit it just right, like the Fonz comes right out. So that's what you need, and that's what James needs. Ron Livingston's here tonight. We're going to take a little break. Drew, I'm not going to discuss your roof during this break.
Oh, yes, you are, because I've produced it for you.
Only if we do it in the bathroom.
Okay.
Boring only bit. Only if Ron goes to the bathroom with us.
Ron, you got to come.
Okay.
To the bathroom.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
okay.
You got to go?
Yeah, you know those gowns?
No number one. Just, we're only going two, so we only go two in the 10 o'clock hour. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
That's
1-800. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Ron Livingston is here tonight from The Cooler, which stars William H. Macy and Alec Baldwin and
Maria Bello.
Maria Bello. And like I said, two big thumbs up on the...
Two.
Not thumbs up, but
no, two thumbs up.
Thumbs up and high praise. Even said that Baldwin, who was sort of wasting his time at the Cat in the Hat thing, this was a nice big comeback for him. So,
but I think he is close on the question mark kills the penis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think he's close on that.
Yeah, we're going into production.
It's either him or Carrie. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And they're both, I assume both of them are listening now. When I do go into production, if a question mark kills the penis, I'm really just going to take the better. I'm not going to, whoever auditions better. I'm not going to get into politics. You're both dear friends, even though I've not met one of you. All right.
I promise you wouldn't release that name.
Let's talk to Gabrielle.
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah, that's right.
What's up?
I have a question for Drew. Huh? Drew, I went to the gyno, and they said that I had an inflammation in my vagina. Uh-huh. And I was just wondering if that could lead to more serious problems if I don't take the medication that they gave me for it.
What did they give you?
I don't know.
Pills or cream?
I don't know. I can't afford to fill it out, so I haven't gotten it.
Can you read to me what's on the prescription?
No, I don't have it in front of me.
Hmm.
Well, it means infection. The inflammation is caused by an infection, usually.
Okay.
And if it's just a vaginal infection, it can be pretty uncomfortable. You can sexually transmit it, but it usually doesn't have complications, though it's not good if you're pregnant.
No, I'm not.
If it's a more serious, like a real true STD, yeah, the infection can get up into the fallopian tubes and cause fertility problems.
You think it's an STD?
No, they said it wasn't.
No, so it's just probably a vaginitis. Right.
Okay, yeah. So I'd probably be okay leaving it.
Well,
How about you get some insurance? Can you get some insurance?
No, not really. No.
Can you get over-the-counter medication like Monistat, Terazol, or Gynalotrimin, something like that?
It's still too much.
Right, too much. Let me ask something. Really, the vag cream? You got to go in and talk to somebody to get the vag cream?
No, it's over-the-counter.
I know your stuff is, but her stuff isn't.
The antibiotic one. Yeah,
yeah. Well, some of you, you're going to get strung out on the vag cream. You're going to start selling that to kids.
We're slowly going into the Corolla style of over-the-counter.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Crab shampoo? Well, you need a prescription. Really?
Yeah.
There's abuse.
Hey, just
crab
be happy.
Shampoo?
Listen, the emergency contraceptive morning after pill is finally being championed on Washington as a over the counter medication.
I just said it. Look, I can go into the sporting goods store and buy a crossbow, and then I can go buy a couple gallons of gas, and then I can buy a fifth of tequila and a hunting knife. I can't get the crab cream.
Right.
What? Tell me, society, how bad a hit would we take if people who didn't actually need the crab shampoo... But
Adam, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
That's a slippery slope.
That's what I love. I love this
next
slippery
day,
slope.
Next day, you'll be buying chemo agents and administering them to your kids.
Yeah. And there's nothing we could do.
No, slippery slope.
That's what I love. I love that argument. I love the retarded slippery slope argument. I love the NRA retards with their... Listen, they start getting our, our banana clips,
grenade
our
launchers,
AK-47s. Next, you know, they're coming in telling you can't use that fork. It's too dangerous. You could stab someone. They're busting into your home and taking your children's pocket knives and BB guns. Really? Is that? That's next. Next, what? A couple days? A couple weeks? When does that happen? When we outlaw the grenade launcher, and then they come in our home and tell us we can't use a steak knife. When would that be? I'd like to mark that on my calendar, you stupid tards.
It'll march off in hours.
Yeah,
hours.
Obviously hours. You're lying. And it's the same. It's that slippery slope. And here's the thing about that slippery slope argument. You're lying. You're retarded or you're a liar.
One or the other.
Or possibly a retarded liar. It's one or the other. It's like with that Kevorkian stuff. Well, here's the thing with Kevorkian, you know. A couple guys in advanced stages of Lou Gehrig's who are scared they're going to choke on their own saliva in the middle of the night, so he hooks them up to the suicide machine, and they flip the switch. Next thing you know, your doctor's killing perfectly healthy patients.
Going to the Rose Bowl and hooking everybody up.
Can't stop him.
Yeah.
Can't stop him. You got a 12-year-old needs a physical for Pop Warner?
No way.
Drew puts a pillow on the guy's head until he snuffs out his life. Nothing we can do. Slippery slope. Slippery slope. I couldn't prosecute that man. No, because it's okay. Really? Now, here's the thing. Do you believe it or are you an effing tard? Or a liar? Liar or tard? Which is it with the slippery slope? It's always one or the other.
Yeah.
They're never really worried about what they're saying is going to happen. They're prognostications. Oh, here's what's going to happen.
That's how Nazi Germany got going, Adam. Didn't you know that?
Yeah.
That's a slippery slope they went down.
They're just lying tards, everybody. We start teaching little Mexican kids in English. They start dropping out of school. No, they just learn English, you tards. I start apologizing.
No one ever apologized for that.
No one ever apologizes for anything.
Now we have a viable workforce. These kids can now be deployed.
Yeah. You got kids that now speak English. Oh, my God. The world's going to come to an end. That's just all that slippery slope. I just can't stand those people. They're such pussy, disingenuous tards. It drives me insane. Kevorkian. I mean, they spend millions of dollars prosecuting Kevorkian, and it's also your kids won't be killed on their next checkup.
Of course,
nothing
of
you
course.
Could do. Nothing the legal system can do. Perfectly healthy. You go to a dentist just have a checkup. Guy just take you out.
If you figured it was in your best interest.
Right, scalpel, yeah. right in the jugular. Nothing you could do. Yeah. Nothing you could do.
Part
slip
of the treatment.
Yourself. Slip yourself.
Yeah.
Slip yourself. Libby.
Hi.
Hey, you're 15.
Hey.
What's up?
I just want to let you know that here in Minnesota, we have this wonderful delicacy called hobo soup.
Mm. What's in it?
Hobos.
It's a shoe.
It's like, no, beans. It's kind of like bean with bacon, but it's got like little veggies, carrots.
What
and stuff
a shock.
Like that.
It's got bacon in it coming from Minnesota.
Yeah. Bacon fat.
It's utter bomb, bacon in a boot.
How's it smell, Chule?
And a nice fishing auger.
Before or after. It's really tasty, but it create some massive hobo power.
Big gas.
Hobo power
terrible.
Soup, see?
Interesting. See, Ron, hobo power is something I'd like to catch you on, which is a unit of stink measurement.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, we have BTUs and horsepower and all that kind of stuff, but no measurement for stink.
Yeah.
Yeah, hobo power could be that measurement.
12 hobo power.
I like that. I think that would remedy a pressing problem.
Yeah,
very serious problem.
There's a void.
Ron,
there's a void. And you know why? Because like, again, if you're describing a sports car and it's like, oh, it's peppy. Well, how much power does it have? Well, it's good. It's pretty fast. Yeah. No, you need to hear
you
300 horsepower or 400 or 200. Hobo parts the same way. It's like, oh, man, this guy let a rank fart. What was it?
How many?
23? Because I've done worse. You know? I've been in an elevator when someone dropped to 26. So you know where you're at.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in closed spaces, is it like that's the equivalent of smelling 23 hobos in an elevator?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Same, sound like horsepower.
It has certain absolute values. At 50, you vomit.
You vomit it.
And 100, the
theoretical
collapse.
No one knows.
It's theoretical.
We've never been there.
Absolute hobo. Absolute hobo.
Don't they have conventions?
There's conventions where people say they've been to 100, but they never been there. All right. We got to take ourselves a little break. Ron Livingston is here tonight from The Cooler, opening in New York and Los Angeles. Great reviews on this film. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Loveline, fast-growing outlaw radio, North America. Oh, yeah. Woo! This buzz is dropping crap.
Oh, no. You know, Ron, be careful. He'll do it. Don't talk to him. Don't tell him. Don't suggest it. He'll do it. He will do it. I swear to God, he will do it. He will do it. He'll do it, Ron. I swear to God, he'll do it.
That's okay, man. Careful.
Ron, don't tell him. Don't tell him. He'll do it.
Don't make me drop trap.
That's okay.
Because I'm a wild man.
He is.
This close to dropping trap. Ronnie Livingston in here tonight, boy. This kid's hot. I'll tell you what. He's getting himself a new movie out there, man. Thing's called The Cooler. It's got that Billy Macy's in that. Blah, blah, blah. And got which one of the Baldwins in there? Bobby's in there? Bobby, I don't know. Alec Bald. Yeah. Hey, that's him, boy. He's a dear friend. Good people. Yeah, we talk on the phone sometimes. Yeah, I tell them I'm going to drop. All right, let's get back to our phones. What do you say?
Yeah, Ace, let's go.
Ronnie, you ready to rock?
Yeah. Let's touch you go.
I swear I'll drop. I swear to holy Christ I'll drop.
He'll do it.
I'll do it, Drew. Back me up. Well, that's my favorite part of bad radio with the sidekick. He's a madman. He'll do it. I like that guy. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to some small market and just write out my career as the he'll do it back up guy. You know, that's sort of the white equivalent to the guy who stands behind Sharpton. Oh, yeah! It's like all you got to do is repeat the last syllable or word or so. You know, Sharpton talking about going to the mountain. You just sit in the back and just yell whatever he yelled last. Cross your arms and hope you don't get shot. Hope whoever's shooting at Sharpton hits him, and you're there. And then you try to put the koofy back on his head and try to get him back to health. Eric?
Yeah.
You're 12?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, well, if I should wait till high school until I, like, go out with a girl or like a girl.
Well, you can't sort of control whether you like one or not, right?
No.
Right.
You're going to like him before high school.
Right.
Don't you don't have any crushes on your sister's friends or anything yet?
No, not my sister's. I liked the girl, right? But today she said she dumped me, right?
What did she do? How did she dump you?
Just said it. Because I found out, like, she liked, two other guys and stuff.
And were you going out with her?
No, I'm too young.
What did you call what the relationship was?
She had a crush on her. He liked her.
But they broke up.
You were going together, probably, right?
Right.
What do you call
that?
A
note or
something? What do you call that, Eric?
I don't know.
No. Girlfriend?
Sort of.
She's your girlfriend. Okay.
No.
And what does she do as girlfriend? Hang on here. Let me show you something here. What does she do with you as girlfriend? Do you just sort of talk at school or sit together? Or do you go to the movies?
It's mainly rim jobs.
We talk a little. Like, right
now. Did you ask her to be your girlfriend?
Sort of, not really.
So, see, the fascinating thing is all this stuff, as it starts evolving, it's very sort of difficult to navigate and understand what the rules are and the meaning of these different things are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So oftentimes, the girlfriend, just a guy just goes, hey, you be my girlfriend? She goes, okay. And now we're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
But nothing changes.
Oh, yeah.
And
everything
the girl
changes.
No. Not 11, 12. Yeah. It's just... You're just sort of identified with each other, and then the girl will suddenly go, I'm breaking up with you.
Right.
But there was nothing
Yeah.
Really happening.
That's how they start.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
No, hang in there, Eric. It gets better.
Yeah. First off, also, what time is it in, you're calling, you're calling from Washington, the state of Washington, not
right.
D.C.,
right? Where are you?
I'm on your mother.
Los Angeles, Jerry.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Southern California.
Yeah. That's what we call a snap.
Yeah.
All
right, buddy. We're in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You come out and see us when you're in town, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah?
Yeah, right.
All right, you get some sleep. You going to eat some turkey tomorrow?
My mom has this huge one in the kitchen.
Fantastic.
You're lucky.
Dude. You know Blink 182 was there last night?
Yesterday, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dang, I called at like 11:45 or something, right?
Dang.
And it's like, here's Loveline, what's your question? I was like, and then they just hung up on me. I'm like, dang it, I almost had it.
Yeah. I have a really big dick.
That's what we tell them to do.
That's what Mark would have said, if you got through.
All right, Eric. You now you like stuffing?
No.
Uh-huh. Pumpkin pie.
Eat this kid with my
pumpkin
shoe
pie.
I see him. You like pumpkin pie?
Yes.
All right. You one for two. What about candied yams?
Love those.
Now you're moving. You're moving back toward my base. What about cranberry sauce?
Sort of. I like it on meat, though. I have to have it on meat.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
All right. Well, we can all agree that you want to just keep it simple and straight Thanksgiving-wise, right?
Yeah.
People try to outsmart themselves with the pheasant and the different venison and things like that. And here's my question to these people. How many times a goddamn year do we sit down with turkey and all the trimmings? Are we so burnt out on this from the last time we did it 18 months ago? You know what I'm saying? Look, we don't sit down for turkey and candied yams and stuffing. How much stuffing do you eat during the course of the year?
Zero.
You eat it one day.
Yeah.
Why can't we get it that one day?
Right.
Yeah. What are you trying to prove?
They're just showing off.
Yeah, if they want the pheasant, yeah.
Ron's right. They're hot dogging.
Yeah.
What it is.
It's all Martha Stewart's fault.
She's screwing us.
That's right.
And they do that thing, too, where they go, oh, see, my cranberry sauce, I use a papaya and mango chutney base. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Pilgrims had papaya.
Yeah, you're not making cranberry. At a certain point, it can't become more
exotic
than what it is. It's got to be cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
That's that.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts when this happens. You know, the worst thing is when you go to a restaurant, you're like, they're like, oh, breakfast burrito, that sounds great. And then they give you something that's totally different. And they go, yeah, that's the way we do it. And it's like, well, you got to say that's the way you do it then.
Right.
Like huevos rancheros.
Don't call it a burrito.
It's not huevos rancheros. You can't do your own speech. You can't give me a slab of meatloaf and some jello and say, oh, no, that's what we call
huevos
rancheros.
Yeah, that's no good.
Don't outsmart yourself. Yeah. This is an L.A. thing, too, by the way. I don't think you're going to find this in the Midwest. Yeah. It's a bunch of fairies trying to outsmart each other with spatulas. You just cook the turkey, you cook the mashed potatoes, the green beans, you bring the pumpkin pie and the apple pie, and that's it. Don't get slick. There's no prizes being awarded. We just want some good goddamn turkey dinner.
You're a purist.
That's right. Like the Puritans, like the Pilgrims, when they came over on the Mayflower. The Separatists. That's me. I like to mix it all together.
Okay, non-Separatists. Yeah. They were non-Separatist Puritans, yeah.
All right. Let's... We've got a question for Ron up here. Let's ask him. Alan?
Yes.
You're 21?
I am.
What's up?
I'm so excited. Hey, Ron.
Hey, what's up, Alan?
My roommate's never going to believe that I actually talked to you. Hey, I had a question. We live your movie. It's every Friday night. You know, it's a given that we, you know, both come home and turn on the movie. But
Office Space.
Office Space, yeah.
Right.
I hope it's not Band of Brothers.
Yeah, it's going to be a little depressing.
Yeah. Because then you're in Iraq.
Hey, go ahead and ask your question. Then I'm going to tell you should watch The Cooler, too.
Okay.
Whatever, Adam.
Your movie's funny, but it was even funnier when I was, like, first introduced to the whole corporate experience. And I was wondering if you were ever part of that or... How you played so well in that role?
Yeah, I did that. I did some interning when I was 16 at Rockwell Collins in Cedar Rapids, and I temped for about 6 or 7 years. That's how,
really?
Yeah, I was a temp. So I saw a lot of different places.
And that's that sounds like a tough gig, that temp.
Mm.
It was all right, actually.
It was?
Yeah, because you don't have to stick around.
Right.
You know? If you don't like it, you just leave and you get another one.
It'd be a decent tail gig, too, you know? You get a lot of poontang out of that gig, I would imagine, because you just sort of blow into town. There's little women there. Huh? A little competition, new guy.
I didn't really find that.
I didn't find that.
I think probably if you're a waiter, it's better.
Oh, yeah, bartender.
Bartender.
Please ply me with more liquor while I pay you. That's really what
and
bartender is. Yeah, and flirt with me. Oh, goddamn. You know what the greatest tail job was? My buddy was a juggler. Now, I know it doesn't sound like much of an ass job.
It doesn't.
Phil the juggler?
Yeah, Philip the juggler. Yeah. He gets mad when we call him Phil, yet he's a juggler. So where's his dignity? Obviously, overcompensation. He's in Branson right now.
Motley Phil.
Here's what would work. Now, it doesn't sound like a great tail gig, but here's what the juggler... Here's the deal. They would do all these shows. These shows would be Vegas shows. They would be out in Reno and all this, Lake Tahoe and all this stuff. And they would have a regular show, like a review, like a dancing girls and stuff like that. And the acts would rotate. So it'd be like a guy did like a ventriloquism would be there for a week. And then the bird guy with the bird act would come in, and the animal act. And then Philip would come in for a week. And when he just blew in for a week, all the guys were gay.
Mm.
Everyone in show business is gay, except for me and Ron. It's true.
I beg your pardon.
Well, especially in the presentational show business. Any guys that were involved with...
Anybody with showmanship.
Anyone with an ounce of showmanship. Anyone who puts a costume on to go to work and there's flares. And an open, the chest is open, but there's no zipper or buttons. It just sort of comes out that way. All gay. So he just, and all these showgirls would just be hanging around. They were all from Mississippi and Iowa, and all of a sudden they're in Vegas or Reno or something. They're hanging out. They're there for a year, and a new guy comes in. Now, the competition. And that's what you want with women. You want that competition.
Right.
That's why they're all going nuts for, like, The Bachelor. Like, super smoking hot chicks who probably wouldn't date this guy if he just walked up to him at a bar. There's 25 of them killing each other to get in his pants. That's women. If you can get them worked up about something retarded, they'll go at it. They'll a knife fight break out over a handbag that's not worth anything except for $1,400.
You got to get one of them to sign on.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas a guy,
maybe you should travel with a woman as your shill.
Yeah, guys would never.
You know what I'm saying?
If there's one dumpy chick and there's 300 guys, there's no fight about who gets her. If it's a crappy car, nobody wants it. There's no fight about who gets
it. But the girl that takes off that causes the frenzy, the initial one to catch the attention of the others, has got to be some kind of how cool or attractive or hip. You know what I mean?
She's got to have something going.
Yeah, I got to want to be like her. If she wants that.
You gotta find the alpha girl.
Yeah, that's the beard you travel with.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
But the beard.
That's what I'm saying.
The alpha girl beard. At the sorority, and then just like be her friend.
Alpha Show beard. Yeah. This is your next movie.
Okay.
William H. Macy puts a wig on.
Yeah.
And a training bra. And he's becomes the alpha beard.
He did it already.
Oh.
77.
Oh.
The point is, if we get someone else to do this, you show up, creates a little heat around the sorority when the cool chick digs you, and now they're all in. Yeah. Good enough for Tammy, good enough for me.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's true.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That's my Barry White invitation.
Megan?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
And what's up?
First off, Adam, I have to tell you, I am from Bakersfield, but I'm part of the very, very small percentage that is actually going to school and working two full-time jobs, so I'm not stupid.
Yeah, but look, here's the thing.
Yeah, I don't think you accuse people of being stupid in Bakersfield.
Well, they're
just
dumb.
Disturbed.
We are.
They're disturbed.
They are
stupid
people here in Bakersfield.
All right, but here's that old thing. Like, people brag where they go, I work three full-time jobs. That just means you have three crappy jobs. It's people who work one job but have a good job.
No,
I can work two full-time jobs and go to school.
Because I'm taking two classes in the afternoon. And I work nights at a place rehabilitating people with brain injuries. And then I work as a filing clerk
That's all of Bakersfield, by the way. The entire town must be under that one roof.
It's a euphemism for...
There's a good actually, we have people coming in from, like, not in Bakersfield.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
I hear Bakersfield's the brain injury capital of the world.
Probably.
But it's everyone. It's the mayor, it's the police chief, all brain injury. All right, go ahead, Megan.
Okay. But anyways, my question is, I've been going out with this guy for a long time, and at the beginning of the relationship, everything was fine. We had no problems getting along, and now it's to the point where I just have no sexual drive, and he cannot sexually satisfy me whatsoever.
Well, the no drive is usually a sign that you're kind of checking out of the relationship.
Yeah.
Your body's trying to tell your brain something. You're not into this.
Well, see, there will be times where I will be excited and I will want to be with him, but then it's a real downer knowing that I'm not going to get anything out of it.
Were you ever able to climax with him?
Twice I have, at the beginning of the relationship.
Wow. And
was that with oral sex?
No, actually, I have never, ever, ever orgasmed with oral sex whatsoever.
Never, ever, ever?
Whatsoever?
Exactly.
All right. Where are you going? At Bakersfield Junior College?
No, I go to Cal State.
There's a Cal State Bakersfield?
Yes, there is.
There is?
Yes.
I'm picturing like...
I do not go to...
Here's what I'm picturing for Cal State Bakersfield. One rusted out storage container that was blown over 4 years ago on its side, and you just you open the doors and raccoons just come scurrying out of it. And then... Then an old man, like a family possum. Old man comes out with a stick and chases you away. He's the dean. He's a student body president. He's the captain of the football team. He's everybody. Cal State Bakersfield. Drew, how depressing would it be to go to Cal State Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Your kids could end up there.
No.
Put a bullet in their head first, right? Be mercy killing?
No, in mine.
All right. Oh, put a bullet in your head. All right. Hey, Megan. Okay, now listen there, baby doll. I think maybe you're done with this guy.
Yeah.
Maybe just break it off with him. Besides, yeah, look at you. You got five jobs. You're going to Cal State Bakersfield. I mean, you're on the move.
Well, actually, the thing is I told him about this, and he still just doesn't.
But this is the point, Megan. This is the point. He doesn't care enough. He doesn't care enough to try to help you. He doesn't care enough to satisfy you. He's checked out, too. This is not a really good relationship. It sounds like it's about over.
Okay.
And at 19, it's tough to know when a relationship's over. So we're here to tell you. It's over.
You got the world by the tail, baby. You're 19.
Four jobs.
Five jobs.
Two.
Two jobs. Whatever. You're doing good.
Yeah.
All right. You can get sex off of those brain injury people, too. No problem.
There's something called a Kluver Busey's.
Actually, I can. Yeah. If you touch them, pretty much you're going to jail.
Yeah, but
it's worth it.
No, but
I found
the head injury patients sometimes get something called a Kluver-Busey syndrome when they get a prefrontal injury and they're hypersexual and they can't contain the impulses.
Really?
Maybe that's what you have.
What, me?
Yeah.
I have Gary-Busey syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I can't ride a motorcycle without crashing.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. You're right.
And I never stop talking about Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
That's the Gary syndrome.
Yeah.
Gary syndrome.
Perseverative, yes.
All right. So, go to jail because you give a guy a little help, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
that's
blow
considered
off
sexual
a little
abuse.
Steam.
No.
Hey, guys build up. They back up a little.
No. It's
that's doing a job.
It's exploitation.
That's doing your job as an American. Mm. Guy's got a brain injury. You give him a little handy just to sort of relieve a little of the pressure that's built up in him over the years, and you're going to jail? That's
Florence Nightingale.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's Mother Teresa. Florence Nightingale and, a cheap...
Larry Flint.
Cheap whore. All packed in one skirt. Megan?
Yes.
All right, baby. You dumped this guy.
Yeah, I pretty much know that. I guess I just needed somebody of a higher authority to tell me so.
All right. There we go.
Well, that's Drew and Ron.
There we go.
Good times.
Katie.
Let's see. Let's talk to Katie over here. Katie?
Yes.
Ooh. You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering if you got chlamydia and you got treated for it, is it possible for the STD to come back without any sexual contact?
It's possible. It's not very likely.
Okay.
How were you treated?
It was like four pills you just took.
Right, the Zithromax.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. More likely.
Not available over the counter?
No. And what are the sexual... Of course.
Why wouldn't people be able to easily cure...
No, that actually, there's a reason for it. It's a broad spectrum antibiotic, and we're trying to control people from overusing it so the organisms in the environment don't become resistant to it.
Yeah, well, by the way, that pisses me off, too, with everybody with the screaming about the antibiotics all the time. Every time someone gets a sniffle, and says, everyone does it to me. Tell Drew to give you some. No. Leave him alone.
Antibiotics are damaging to the environment.
Let me ask you this.
Making it more dangerous.
Isn't it, maybe not healthy, but shouldn't one get sick a number of times through the course of one's lifetime?
And your body fight it off, yes.
Isn't that a good thing?
That's a good thing.
Why do I have to attack everything all the time?
You don't.
Yeah, you just...
You shouldn't. When was the last time I took an antibiotic? Can't even remember.
Drew doesn't. I mean, you did some coke off my penis that time, but other than that,
that
it's
was
the only thing
penis?
I've ever... It was. You were just really... It's the only time I've ever seen you ingest anything.
No, would not take antibiotics because, A, the British healthcare system had a little commercial sort of aphorism, which was, you can see the doctor, you can come in for your infection, your upper respiratory infection, which means virus, by the way. Mm-hmm. By definition, it means virus.
Yeah.
You can see a doctor and get put on antibiotics and be better in 7 days, or you can not and be better in 7 days.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah, it didn't seem like we pushed that enough. And with all the retarded PSAs, patients will
not sit still for it.
I know,
they demand antibiotics.
I know, but I don't think they know any better oftentimes.
Yeah, I've spent half my life trying to educate people. I go, look, this is a virus, and no matter what I do, it's not going to respond to antibiotics. This is not bacterial, and here's why. Here's what I get.
Yeah, you got.
I know my body, and I tell you, every time I take Zithromax, it just kicks it out. And I got to travel today, so I got to kick it out.
No,
you're not kicking anything out. You're not doing anything when you take the antibiotics.
Well, you're dealing with old Jews mainly, Drew.
No, the younger people are actually worse with this.
Young Jews?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the point. We ought to do some PSAs, all this retarded fecata.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
speaking of old Jew, talking about, putting your seatbelt on in the airplane and McGruff warning you about not to leave your laptop on the roof of your car and all this retarded crap. Why don't they give us a PSA about, hey, junkie, take it easy with the antibiotics. You're going to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? There's a PSA.
And when you really, really do get an infection, the bacteria won't respond to the antibiotics.
How come we only have stupid PSAs?
That's a good question. Katie, let me finish with her.
Yeah.
Hey, Katie, what are your symptoms now?
Well, I did get treated for it, but sometimes I itch, but that's it. Like,
no,
I tested positive for it again.
For chlamydia. Again?
Yeah, but I broke up with my boy. This was when I was 15 that I had it, and I didn't find out till like a year later.
Yeah.
And then I got treated for it, and then we broke up, and then it came back.
And you've had no sexual contact since?
No.
None?
None.
Either one of those tests was inaccurate, or it was incompletely treated in the first place, but that's kind of unusual.
Mm. All right, babe, but good times there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, play. I got to hear.
I want to go to San Francisco.
No, I'm fired up now. I want to go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
We're going after the show.
All right.
Road trip.
All right.
I'll eat turkey over there.
Are you with us?
Okay.
Hey, play. Yeah. We're going to go to the bathroom.
Right. You've missed us for 6 years. It's a 6-year absence.
It's been a while, man.
Yeah. We've missed you.
Hey, Anderson.
Yeah.
Cue up that airport airplane turbulence one. We'll hear it when we get back. Can we please?
I'll look for it.
Look for it, buddy. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Ron Livingston is here, The Cooler, name of his new project. William H. Macy, Alec Baldwin, and What's Her Nose. New York and Los Angeles probably have a wider release, too, once it's very successful in those large cities. And when we come back, my favorite public service announcement. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ron Livingston is here tonight. The Cooler is the name of his latest film.
Her nose is Maria Bello.
Yeah, Maria Bello. Yeah, that's nice. I'm going to write that down. Next week, we got Joel from Good Charlotte's going to be in here. Mason Gray's going to be in here. Kathy Griffin's going to be in here. Tori Amos is going to be in here. And look out. It's the only reason junior producer Lauren works on this show.
Those gold dust moments.
Yeah, we're going to have some gold dust moments with Tori.
I imagine.
So, I believe.
She just believes. She doesn't always say what she believes in. But She's a dynamite lady. I haven't had her in here for a while.
It's been over a year.
She told you to F off.
Well over a year.
She told you to
F off.
That was the time before last. Last time before.
So she dropped the F bomb on the air. We had a good time.
That's rock and roll.
Yeah, that's rock and roll. Tori.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, she
takes all kinds.
She's like the Jerry Lee Lewis with extensions.
I was commending her.
You know what I mean?
I was commending her.
She has the Gary Busey syndrome, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Why? You got something, Drew?
No.
All right, then quiet. All right, we're David Alan Greer also. Dear friend David Alan Greer will be in here on Thursday.
Yay!
All right, so now somebody says we're talking about PSAs, public service announcements, and how they should do ones that say don't eat all them antibiotics and make the strains very strong. But Rick says he heard one, Rick.
Yeah, they got him up here.
What do they say? What do the antibiotics say?
They're like, snort, sniffle, sneeze, no antibiotics, please. And then they like go on and talk about how antibiotics are bad news.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. I swear to God, I hate them every night. I'm like, that's the crappiest. I hate these PSAs, yo.
He wouldn't make up the weird voice and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't do that to you guys.
All right, you see it on TV?
No, it's on your show up here on KJE.
Oh, how come? Oh, they must have their own PSAs over there.
God, right, we love that KJE, so there you go.
Yeah, we do.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we do.
I know.
All right. Do you really want to keep talking to Rick?
No, let's hear the McGruff or the airplane
turbulence. You're my favorite and most important, and this is what we're spending our tax dollars on, by the way. Do you have it, Anderson?
Yeah, I don't think much money went into this at all, though.
Yeah.
What
at least
tough
playing
thing
it.
Your body
You'd be surprised.
Is. Right. It's built to withstand bending.
Right, bending.
Pinching.
Ouch. Your body.
Doing.
Oh.
Swimming. Bumping. Tickling.
Mm-hmm.
Shaving.
Loud noises.
Yeah.
Childbirth.
All right. No one ever dies doing that.
No.
No one's ever hurt playing football.
Cooking.
No fires in the kitchen.
Boys have never killed anybody.
Marathons.
Yeah, rollerblading. Marathons.
Even.
No one's ever been hurt by that.
Company meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand.
Please tell us, you retards.
Really?
Unexpected turbulence.
Can't withstand it.
Can't make
it. Built to withstand
oh, thank
that.
Holy
really
Christ.
Well. All you have to do is wear your safety belt.
Hold on. What did he mention there?
He said that your body's not meant to withstand airplane turbulence.
Right.
That should you hit some
pocket
continuous chop
air,
or
right?
turbulence,
you would die
immediately.
Head would fall off.
You'll rip apart.
So your body's basically
not meant to withstand it.
Built to play football.
Football
airplane
fires,
turbulence.
Football. It's rollerblading.
And it's all nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
But if you hit some chop,
Drew, you must
disintegrate.
Over the years must have treated many patients for airplane turbulence.
No.
Oh, really?
They die instantly.
Oh, they die
instantly.
I
You're
see.
Not meant to withstand
I
that.
I see. Now, what was that thing he said to put on?
All you have to do is wear your safety belt.
Adam, I flew last week, and before the plane took off, this woman walked down the aisle with this strange clip.
I don't think that's the same thing.
She called it a...
Safety belt.
Safety belt.
Okay.
She called it a safety belt.
Oh, so she told you to do it.
Safety
well,
belt.
I think that's what she did. Then this yellow thing fell down from the roof, and she got into putting a mask in her mouth.
But the safety belt was the beginning part?
Safety belt. Yeah, I think that's what they told
safety
me.
Belt.
Yeah. Safety belt. Safety belt.
Okay, so
but she didn't want to
writing,
freak anybody out. She didn't want to get on the loudspeaker and say, if we hit some chop,
safety belt,
you'll disintegrate. All of you will be dead.
Okay, all right. So you're saying on some airlines, they may give you a little heads up about
the one I was
riding
on last week.
Right,
they don't have any problem with playing football in the aisles, though.
Because you're meant to withstand that.
Your body's meant, but airplane turbulence. I mean, the Americans that die each year, and internationally, I don't even want to know what that number. Some experts put it as high as 2.5 deaths each year for per 10 billion miles flown. Really? Airplane turbulence? Really? big problem? Safety belt? Going to let us in on the safety belt, huh? The placard that will never go off and keeps blinking 3 feet in front of us. That's not enough of a heads up on the safety belt. Or the chick running around with the safety belt. Or the captain yelling to put the safety belt on. That's not enough.
Safety belt.
Put the safety belt on.
Safety
Are you
belt.
Just out? Are we living in the kind of utopia that this is what we have to focus our PSA dollars toward?
Safety
That's
belt.
It. Everything's taken care of. There's no teenage pregnancy.
No.
There's no
Safety
domestic
belt.
Violence. It's
Safety
all,
belt.
Everything is done.
Yeah,
everything
done.
Is so done that they're going to do a PSA about something they beat us over the goddamn head with every time we get in the effing plane.
Safety belt.
That's it. You never hear anything but the safety belt. I can't believe this thing has been made. I can't believe it's in rotation. Anderson, can you crush this thing? Can we destroy it? Can we burn it in some sort of ceremonial fire? It drives me insane that we sit here night after night and talk about what we think are important topics, and they never get touched upon.
PSA.
Put that safety belt on when you get in the airplane, as if somehow, it could escape the mind of the pilot. It could the stewardess could not bring it up. Somehow you wouldn't know about it. Really? Airplane turbulence. I'd just like to get my hands on the MFers who make this thing and go, give me some data on how many people were injured in in-flight turbulence last year. What do we got? Two? Three? Any deaths? Tell me
turbulence
how many deaths.
Happens.
How many deaths? I guarantee.
It has to be zero.
Zero. If there was a domestic death because of airplane turbulence in the last year, it'd be all over the news, right?
Yeah.
Okay, zero deaths. I guarantee there's more deaths in high school football in the state of Alabama each year than there are
injuries. Than there are injuries with airplane turbulence.
Yes,
more deaths than injuries.
That's right.
You're
there
just
you
not
go.
Built for it.
Not built for it, pussy.
You're just
I'd
not
like
built
to kill
for
that guy. I really would. I know it's just a VO gig for him. I'd still like to just smother him with the flotation pillow. Just hold him down and smother the life out of him with the flotation pillow. Just not built for it. And by the way, what is the strategy of picking a whole bunch of stuff your body really isn't meant for to use it as an example against something that doesn't really exist? Really?
At least they're consistent.
Yeah. Now, here's what they need to say. If they want to do one of these things, it's like, look, this is almost never going to happen, but if it does happen,
you'll be happy when
you'll be really happy you put your belt on. Yeah. And then you have to say that. Here's what the PS should be. When you go into the plane, listen to what the person's yelling at you over and over and over and over and over again. And when you fall asleep with it off and she comes by and waxing the arm, tells you to put it back on,
don't
listen
yell at
to
her too much.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, don't get drunk and take a Duke on any serving cards. That should be the PSA.
Yeah, no Duke.
No Duke.
No Duke on airlines. Yeah.
All right. Why don't they give us a warning about gravity? We should obey the laws of gravity. So yes. when we're running, we don't start floating up and hit our head on a street light. How about that PSA? That'd be helpful. Just the same impact. Would it be about the same impact?
Well, it is a law.
It's a law. The law of gravity.
You're right. You have to obey
it. Can't ignore that.
No.
That's right. Without that, we'd all just start going up till we got our heads caught in power lines. How about that law? There's an important PSA for you idiots. Get to work, you chimps. How dare you? Oh, yeah. No, football, we're all meant to play. Where am I? Ask Daryl Stingley if you're meant to play football. He's in a wheelchair right now. Go ahead. Ask all the guys who have arthritic hips and knees and knee replacement. All the guys are keeled over at the 45. Go ask them all. All those ex-NFLers are hobbled. Yeah, they're all hobbled. Yeah, Utley. Yeah. Go ask all the guys who've been paralyzed if your body's built, boy-oy-oying, to play football.
Boy-oy-oying.
Idiots. Idiots.
Let's keep the PSA theme going here.
All right, I'm fired up. Alex?
Yes?
What's up?
Listen, you guys really got to get on with this, dropping the seatbelt for the airplane, and get on with this smoke detector battery replacement, because that seriously will save
That's a good
lives.
Point.
You can count
there you go. There you go.
Alex the fireman?
Yeah. All we hear about is, every third person calls a show, we hear the chirp of the familiar chirp of the
Friendly
expired
chirp.
Battery in the smoke detector that's been going off for 9 years, and no one will ever replace that. And that's not that PSA, hey, TARDS, replace the battery. That can't do that. Stuff that's out of people's reach when you're stupid, if it's higher than your head, it's gone.
Yeah.
You can't deal with it. You just can't deal with it. Especially if you're a chick. If you're a chick and it's on the ceiling, it's done.
Yeah.
You'll never touch it again. It's gone. It's gone. You take a stack of $1,000 bills, put some gum on them, stick them to the ceiling.
Didn't
woman
exist.
Just walk under it the whole time. Never.
But if another woman notices it,
then it's game on.
That's brutal.
Or better yet, you get on the chair and you take the battery out completely to make the chirping stop.
That, that's the other
that's
one they
option.
Do.
That's an option.
This is why we need the PSA. That's all I'm saying. Adam?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I want to know if smoking too much marijuana for a long period of time can cause asthma.
No.
Interesting question. The initial, when you smoke pot initially, it can actually improve asthma. Very, very initially. If you were somebody that didn't smoke it regularly, some people report an improvement in airway sort of relaxation of the airways. Mm-hmm. Now, after that acute initial exposure, it becomes an irritant and causes chronic bronchitis and an asthma-like syndrome and even possibly emphysema. So although there may be this, you know, single exposure benefit, it is not something you can take regularly, and it does cause serious lung disease.
Hey, how about good times?
Right,
you're 16. You're invincible.
Yeah.
That's going to be my PSA. Hey, you're 16. You're going to live forever, man.
What could happen?
And don't listen to the man, because he's going to try to poison your mind.
Yeah, he's going to tell
your
parents, you what to do.
He's got an agenda.
Anyone over 20, that's the man. So don't listen to him. And if the coppers try to get in your way, you speed up. When the man pushes right, you go left.
Question authority.
Question authority.
Man.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm all for questioning, but not the authority. Authority, yeah. If you look up authority, probably means a guy knows something about whatever it is you're questioning.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to go in, at you know, guys. So think of it. You have a guy fix your computer and you start questioning him.
Right. Or the guy that's
your dentist.
Right.
Yeah.
The rocket scientist that's sending the guys up on the rocket ship. Question that guy?
No.
Question that authority?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Let's take a break.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, one quick thing, Jeff, over here, just to put this thing to bed. Jeff, you're 23.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I'm sure you guys already talked about it in that last PSA, but when they do the rollerblading thing, if you listen to it, you can actually hear screeching tires and a horn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And
one's ever been taken out in rollerblades.
Yeah.
Jeff. Dr. Drew. Pink has a PSA out. I don't know if you guys have heard that, where she actually talks about the emergency contraceptive.
Really? We should have talked to her about that. No, really? I didn't know that. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been off for like a month at least.
She also has a pretty powerful message about Germany or Florida. I don't know if I've heard about that. I mean, this is one of the strongest.
Germany or Florida.
We need to keep yakking.
She's taking the message to the kids.
We need to yak some more about that morning after pill.
All right, we'll do that. But it's a good point. That's true. That's Drew taking away.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. But they're not in the same room, and it's not the same time. So, all right, Ron Livingston is here tonight. The Cooler. Name of his latest joint. Yeah, that's what we call it. New York, Los Angeles, out as we speak. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. My name is Dr. Drew. Ron Livingston is here tonight. You got to enjoy him. It's going to be 6 years before he comes in again.
Yeah, but last time he was here, he came like four times in a row.
Oh,
and
really?
Then 6 years.
He did a TV show
like twice.
I came here plugging townies, and I think it was like two nights after it was canceled.
Do you remember when we went out plugging townies when we did that Florida college?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. It's good times.
Yeah. Yeah. Go out townie plugging. I'm telling you, I still got the townies magnet in my garage. Jenna Elfman, Molly Ringwald. Yeah. All-star Ron Livingston. Who else is in there? The guy who's currently on...
Lauren Graham, Billy Burr.
Lauren Graham.
Yeah.
She's
Joe
hot.
Reitman.
The guy who's on... what's that new show where they married the gay guys?
Will and Grace, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, is it Will and Grace?
He was on that?
Yeah.
Wow.
He played Jenna's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, look. All-star cast.
Yeah. See what they let go.
Yeah. See that? See what they could have had. All right. Hey, fine. Have it your way.
Do you know that we had NBC, Grace on the TV
CBS?
Show?
What channel was that on?
It was ABC.
ABC?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had Grace on the show?
Yeah, TV show.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Was that Deborah Messing?
Yeah.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. No recollection.
What was she doing?
Plugging something.
Oh, okay.
Before Will and Grace.
Veronica?
Yeah?
Ooh.
Ooh. Got that little girl voice.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. What's up?
ABCD.
Uh-oh. What's up?
Okay, I am dating someone and I can't decide whether or not I want to get serious with him because I've heard from a lot of my friends and other people that know him and I that he does OxyContins a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me that he doesn't, but I also don't know anyone else who does them, so I don't know what it's like
to.
All right. Well, OxyContin is not a part-time gig. That's something you're going to take all the time if you're going to get strung out on that.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to tell when somebody is on that drug. That you really behaviorally early on cannot tell.
Ron's pretty beaked up right now.
I didn't want to bring this up.
I love Ron. I know what you're talking about. By the way.
But Veronica,
everyone loves Ron.
About the only thing you can tell is the following.
Okay.
He'll have pinpoint pupils, very constricted pupils, even in a dark room.
Really?
And if you believe there's something going on, there usually is. If you have a sense that he's not right.
Also, when people do that thing where it's like everyone says, everyone says, then believe them.
Yeah.
Always believe everything.
Yeah.
Always believe what everyone says. Okay.
Why would everyone say he's into OxyContin and he's not into it?
What's in it for them to say that?
Right.
Well, I don't know. A lot of my guy friends are saying it, so sometimes it leads me to believe that they just don't want me to be with...
They
want
to be with her.
Are they into you?
Yeah, guys? A little bit.
All right. Well,
you're hot stuff. You're calling from Alaska.
The hell are you doing up there?
You're in Alaska. That means, you know, when you're calling from Alaska, you're a 19-year-old chick. You can be a good, solid 3.5 or 4, and you're the... you rule the roost over there.
Oh, yeah.
The bell, the ball, right?
That is
especially at wintertime.
Yeah, that's smart. Smart, see? You're sassy.
Thank you.
No, it's mean. It's like, you know, Veronica, you're probably not the world's most attractive woman, right?
I don't know. I'm not. I wouldn't say that I'm hot, but I definitely get cute a lot.
She sounds kind of cute.
But that's Alaskan cute. See, if you move to Florida, you don't get that anymore. Stay in Alaska.
Nanooka's cute.
That's all I'm saying, yeah.
Veronica, do you have an alcoholic dad?
Oh, my gosh. How did you know?
Because
you're living in Alaska.
No, because you're attracted to a drug addict, and that sort of seals it. That to me means the guy is an alcoholic addict. You would be attracted then to an alcoholic addict.
All right, so listen to your friends.
Listen to my friends?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys.
It's not an accident. Right. I knew your dad was an alcoholic.
A good time. And don't get hurt getting thrown up and down on that blanket made of seal skin, you know, where they toss them up.
No, it's...
Yeah, that's the Eskimos.
Yeah. No, that's right.
I just realized the PSA in Alaska needs would be where a moose...
Beware moose and be careful when they do that big
sealskin
toss.
Yeah, sealskin toss.
No, by the way, you know, to Alaska. They do that. They run that on the commercial. Like, hey, come on down to Alaska. We'll do this to you. It's like I want a bunch of drunken Eskimos throwing me around with a smelly sealskin.
That's right.
Doesn't seem like if that's just it, I ain't coming.
Right.
You got to show me a little better than this. It's like some fat tourist in the middle, a bunch of drunken assholes. Hey! She's getting 6 feet off the ground. Like, what? This is it? You got nothing else, huh?
I want to dress this morning after Bill call.
Yeah, two. Let's do that. Come on, buddy. Kayla?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Ooh. Uh-huh. Same voice.
Ooh, you got that little girl voice.
What's the question?
I want to know how the morning after pill works and how to get it.
Ooh. All right. When were you sexually molested?
4.
I haven't been.
No. Physically. Six. Physically
six.
Abused.
Six.
Emotionally.
Yeah, abused.
But must have been bad, right?
No, not really.
No? No physical abuse?
Mm-mm.
No one ever hit you with an object. I'm not getting physical abuse.
No. Sexual abuse. No sexual abuse?
No.
Huh. When did you lose your virginity?
I'm still a virgin.
Holy macaroni. All right.
What was the emotional abuse about?
My mom, she's just too controlling. She's a bitch, so.
Do you have an eating disorder?
Any what?
Do you have an eating disorder?
Ain't no.
Okay. Mm. All right. Morning after pill works by suppressing ovulation. That was announced on the radio this morning. I felt so vindicated. You have no idea. And it works the same way as your birth control pill. It's just not as effective. You have about a 72-hour window, a three-day window to take this pill after an unprotected sexual encounter. And it will reduce the risk of pregnancy by about 70% by preventing an egg from being released.
And here's the...
You can call 1-800-NOT-2, the number 2, late. 1-800-NOT-2-LATE. And they can refer you to a pharmacy near you. I don't know if in Oklahoma, where you're calling from, that you can get it without a prescription. If not, you can call Planned Parenthood or any doctor in an emergency room. They will get your prescriptions, and you can get it at 16. You can have access to it confidentially in most states.
Here's the whole thing. This pill has been around for quite some time. No one will get behind it. Everyone's trying to sort of suppress it.
It could eliminate abortion in this country, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the hypocrite...
Who's against it?
Oh, let me tell you. Okay. First off, here's basically what you have. You have the sort of hypocrite, right-wing, God-fearing fantasy tards who say they're against abortion, but really what they're against is people getting laid who aren't married, who aren't trying to procreate. And it all stems from them not getting any in high school and just being sort of bizarre and superstitious and retarded about their religion.
Right.
Then you have the sort of left wing who is for it, but they're such pussies. And they're everyone's so scared to step up and call these people idiots, by the way, with their talking about Jesus on the Christ dying on the cross and all this. They're wusses, and Planned Parenthood, their heart is in the right place, but they're pussies and they're idiots too. And they hire models to go to Congress and talk about stuff that they don't even know about. And they're just as stupid in their own well-meaning ways, the right-wing guys. Now, the right-wing guys you think would want to get rid of abortion because that's all they do is talk about is getting rid of abortion.
But they refuse to look at the science.
Well, they're not much into science because they think the planet's 2,000 years old.
Well,
not really scientists.
I always thought that the whole political fight behind it was because it flushed out a viable, you know.
That was what the people hide behind, was that when this procedure was invented 25 years ago, they thought maybe it works by preventing a fertilized egg from implanting, in which case it would be an abortion pill.
Right, and then
they've since discovered it doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. It's no more likely to do that than your birth control pill taken the way you normally do, and as well as several anti-inflammatories like Vioxx and Celebrex. They all have a theoretic possibility of interfering with implantation. Now, if you're going to say that is unacceptable, we're going to have to do away with all the anti-inflammatories and all the birth control pills, that is a viable position. I understand that. If you feel that way, fine. That's not what they're saying. They're saying this product has to be eliminated because it can do that, but it can't do it any more likely than these other drugs.
Right.
It works by preventing ovulation.
Not to mention all the times that implantation naturally fails.
Of course.
Yeah, but look, these people aren't interested in facts. If they were interested in facts, they wouldn't be able to follow the retarded religion that they're following because that screws up their religion. So that's facts and science, not a strong suit for these folks. They're more interested in preaching and judging. And they like the idea of having free sex. You get laid, you don't use a condom, and pow, you take a pill and gone. They don't. That doesn't sit well with them. Instead of admitting that, they just say this is an abortion, and they move on, and they have Congress in their pocket, and everyone's an idiot, and everyone's a pussy, and nobody stands up, and no one carries it. Now they get more and more abortions. Fantastic. You got what you want. I'll see you in hell. Well, that's the show. The great Ron Livingston. I want to thank him for coming in here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
And you come back. He's got some new movies coming out. And man, his career is picking up momentum, as is everyone who was in Townies. It's the anti-curse of the Townies cast.
Yeah.
Except for Molly Ringwald. Right. All right, so you come in and you plug away next time one of these movies hits the theater.
Love to,
the
man. Great.
The Cooler is the name of the movie that's out in New York and L.A. Go out and see that. And
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Want to thank Tara, Don't Call Me Tara, goddammit, and Brian, phone screener Brian. Engineer Chris, junior, producer Lauren, producer Ann, and the Liberace of the potentiometers, Engineer Anderson. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo, Washington, not
right.
D.C.
Where are right? you?
I'm on your mother.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.